We are holding on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Beis at the word Esive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the page. Last word on the line is Esive. We're in the middle of discussing the issue of Kinyan Peros Kikinyan Aguftami, Olav Kikinyan Aguftami. This is Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the Gemara is going to try to bring proofs who is correct in this Machlokas. We're going to try to bring proofs from Brises that are familiar to us, specifically those that speak about when you are being maknas something to somebody, v'acharecha leploni, v'acharecha leploni, where you tell him that you should receive it, but then after you're done with it, meaning after you die, then it should go to the next guy, and then the next guy. So what rights exactly does the first guy have in such an item? Because that would seem very much like a Kinyan HaPeiros type of situation, because he doesn't get to keep it forever to be Morish it, he only gets to enjoy it while he is alive. So the Gemara is going to try to bring rights from that kind, from those kinds of cases. I'm going to spend a lot of time on Acharecha Leploni types of cases. We're going to have a Machlokas in the case of Acharecha Leploni. What if the first guy sells it? What happens if he decides to sell it during his lifetime? And also in the context of that discussion, we're going to raise the issue: when exactly does the kinyan of a matnas shchiv mira take place? If a person is trying to give something as a shchiv mira, does it only happen in the achar misa? Does it happen b'shas misa? Does it happen a moment before the misa? When exactly is the matnas shchiv mira going to be chal? And going back to a discussion of acharecha leploni, we're going to discuss whether that works for dalid minim. Let's say I want there's only one esrog in town, so I want to give other people the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah of esrog. So I go down the rows in shul, I give it to the guy next to me, and I say, I'm giving this to you as a matana al manas that you give it to leploni acharecha leploni v'acharecha leploni v'acharecha leploni all the way through the shul. Does that work for dalid minim? That's going to bring us into a discussion about matana al manas lahachzir when it comes to dalid minim, and also about a dalid minim that is bought b'tfusas habayis. Let's say there's an estate that's owned by several brothers, and they use the common money to buy an esrog. Can anyone be yotze with that esrog? The Gemara is then going to discuss if the recipient of a matana amanas la'achzir is able to be makdish the matana. That's going to be the last discussion of the daf. A person who receives a matana al-manas la'achzir, how much of an owner is he in that matana? Can he be makdish it? He's going to give it back afterwards. It will just be kadosh when he gives it back afterwards. Is that a fulfillment of the tanai when it was meant to be a matana al-manas la'achzir? So let's begin at Esve on 8 lines from the bottom of the page on Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So again, we're trying to bring a raya whether Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guftami or not. So Esve Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is trying to prove his shita that Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guftami, that Kinyan Peros is as good as a Kinyan Guft. So Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish, Nechasai Lach V'acharecha Yirash Ploni. We already discussed the case in a brisa. A person says, I'm giving you my Nechasim, but after you die, I want it to go to Ploni. Va'acharav Yirash Ploni. And after he dies, I want it to go to Ploni. You're taking complete control of the chain through which these Nechasim are going to pass through. Meis Rishon Kanasheni. Meis Sheni Kanashlishi. Good, that works. You can determine that as long as everyone dies in the order that you want them to. So everything works perfectly. Meis Sheni B'chaye Rishon. But what if Hashem has different plans? What if the second guy dies before the first guy dies? Yachzur Nechasim L'Yorshei Rishon. All the Nechasim go back to the Yorshei Rishon. So says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, V'im Isa, if your Kinyan HaPeros is not a Kinyan HaGuf, L'Yorshei Nosei Mibayilei, they shouldn't go back to the Yorshei Rishon, to the first recipient of the Matana. They should go back to the original Nosein of the Matana, because the Rishon only has a Kinyan HaPeros in it. He only gets to enjoy it while he's alive, and then it goes on to this to the Sheni. So he never has a full kinyan aguf in it. He only has a kinyan aperos, because if he's only allowed to use it while he's alive, that's called a kinyan aperos. So yeah, the matana from the second guy to the third guy is batel, but it should not go back to the rishon or to his yorshim after he dies, because he's not the real owner. It should go back to the nosein. Oh, what do you see from the fact that it goes back to the rishon? Kinyan aperos must be kinyan aguf dami, and therefore the rishon is considered the bailim of these nechasim. He's considered the real owner, and since the second guy is dead before the first guy is, there's no one to be makne. There's no one for the rishon to be makne the nechasim too, so it remains in the possession of the rishon. But bottom line is, you see, kinyan aperos is kikinyan aguf. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that proves me right. Amar leis Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Yochanan, that's not right at all. Kvar tirgumar of Hoshaya bebavel acharecha shayni. Rav Hoshaya already explained that a case of acharecha is entirely different. The first guy's kinyan in the nechasim is not a stam kinyan peros, meaning your assumption that that's a classic case of kinyan peros is totally off base. As long as the second guy has not yet acquired them, they're considered to belong to the Rishon with a kinyan aguf. Forget about a kinyan aperos. They're considered to be his entirely. So if the second guy never is able to live long enough to be able to receive them, the first guy remains the full owner, which he was during his own lifetime. So his yorshim will be able to yorshim from him. That is not a kinyan aperos situation. And Rabbi Rav Huna also asked on this brisa, why doesn't it say you give it back to the nosein? V'amar acharecha shayni, and he gave the same answer, that acharecha is a different situation when you say that it should go to you and then to you. That is imamish a kinyan aguf. It is not just a kinyan peros. So ask the Gemara to flip around the question on Rabbi Yochanan. Vatanya, there's another brisa that says that if the second guy dies before the first guy, Yachsul Yorshin Nosein, that it does in fact go back to the Yorshim of the Nosein. So if Rabbi Yochanan is correct that the Rishon has a kinyan peros, and Rabbi Yochanan is correct that kinyan aperos is kikinyan aguf dami, why does it go back to the Yorshim of the Nosein? It should go back to the Yorshim of the Rishon, because after all, he has a kinyan peros in it. Kinyan peros is kinyan aguf dami, meaning the very same halacha that Rabbi Yochanan wanted to prove kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami. There's another brisa that disagrees with that halacha and says the halacha is the other way. So that other brisa seems to be a raya against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers Tanaihi. It's a machlokas tanaim, whether kinyan aperos is kinyan aguf. You're not going to bring a raya against either shita from a brisa, because either shita could just say, no problem, that follows the other shita in tanaim, whether kinyan aperos is kinyan aguf dami. Where do we find that there is, in fact, such a machlokas tanaim, whether kinyan aperos is kinyan aguf dami or not? Ditanya, nechasei loch v'acharecha leploni v'yarad rishon u'machar v'achal. Let's say a person says, I'm giving you my nechasim, and then after you it goes to another guy, and the first guy goes to those nechasim, he sells them to other people, and then he's ochel the money. He spends all the money, he gambles away all of the money. It doesn't have to say that. I mean, the part about him gambling away all the money, it could even be that he has he still has the money. The reason we dafka picked that case is because that's orcha de milsa, says Rashbam. That's the normal situation where he has the money and then he spends the money. The Rashash on that Rashbam just points out that maybe we're trying to say an extra chiddush, that even though the money is no longer in the hands of the mocher, so if the second guy were to come take the mechasim from the lokeach after the first guy dies, the lokech is going to lose out because he has nowhere to collect from. He has nowhere to get it back from. Still, we're going to say that you're allowed to be motzi miyad al-lekuchos, even though that means that the lekuchos are going to lose out. So anyway, so the brisa tells us that if you said, I'm giving you these nechasim and then acharech leploni, and the first guy sells it, so good, hasheni motzi miyad al-lekuchos. The second guy, after the first guy dies, the second guy could go and take it away from whoever the first guy sold it to. Divrei Rebbe, that's Rebbe Shita. Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer, ein l'sheni ela ma shashiya rishon. No, the second guy only gets whatever is left over after the first guy's done with it. When the first guy's done with it, he may have sold it all away, and if he sold it all away, so then the second guy doesn't get anything. What's the svara? Rebbe holds the first guy does not have the ability ability to sell those nechasim forever because he only has a kinyan aperos in it. He doesn't have a kinyan aguf in it. Kinyan aperos is not kinyan aguf, and therefore he only has the ability to sell the peros and not the guf. So the second guy will lose. The second guy will be able to be mafkia miyad alokeach. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds kinyan aperos that the first guy has is kinyan aguf dami, and therefore he does have the ability to sell it, and no one's allowed to take it away from the lokeach, because the lokeach bought it from someone who has a full kinyan in it. So you see, that's exactly the machlokas tanaim, kinyan peres, kinyan aguf dami, or lavka kinyan aguf dami. That Rebbe holds it's lavka kinyan aguf dami, Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds it is kinyan aguf dami. Says the Gemara, Ur minhi, but I'll ask you a stira, nechasai lach v'acharecha leploni, in a situation where you say, I'm giving you my nechasim, and then after you, it goes to Ploni, Yori Rishon Mocher V'Ochel. The first guy is allowed to sell it, he's allowed to use up the money. Divrei Rebbe, Rebbe holds he's allowed to do all of that. Now keep in mind, what did Rebbe say if he does all of that? If he sells it, Rebbe's the one that said that the second guy can come and be Motzi Miyana Lekuchos, could take it away from Lekuchos. And now Rebbe's saying, no problem, you could sell it, it's no big deal. Wait, but Rebbe's the one that just said that if you do that, then the Lokeach is going to lose, Lokeach is going to get a confiscated, so we'll have to deal with that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein the Rishon Ela Achilas Peros Blavad. That the first guy may not sell it. All he has is Achilas Peros. He can enjoy it while he's alive. Once he's dead, it's got to go to somebody else, and therefore he has no right to sell it because it's already earmarked to the Sheni at that point. And again, this is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's one that told us that if he does sell it, then the Sheni gets nothing. The Sheni only gets whatever the Rishon leaves over. So I asked the Gemara, Kasha the Rebbe Ad Rebbe, Kasha the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's a double stira. It's a stira within Shitas Rebbe, and it's a stira within Shitas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says we can answer both stiras. The Rebbe had the Rebbe lo kasha. It's not a stira in Rebbe at all. Ha legufa, when we say that the second guy is able to confiscate it from the lekuchos, that's talking about the actual guf hanechasim, because the guf hanechasim did not belong to the first guy to be able to sell. He only owned the peros while he was alive. Ha lepira. And when we say that the first guy is allowed to sell it, yes, he's allowed to sell the peros so long as he's alive. That's all Rebbe was saying. That someone gave me a matana that is supposed to be acharecha leploni. Good, as long as I'm alive, I'm allowed to enjoy the peros, and if I'm allowed to enjoy those peros, I'm allowed to sell those peros. That's all Rebbe was saying, that I'm allowed to sell. But ein achinami, once the first guy dies, the lekuchos will then lose that property. That's perfectly fine. The Rishon Gamliel, the Rishon Gamliel lokasha, and it's also not a stira in Rishon Gamliel, halachadchila habediaved, that the case where Rishon Gamliel says that the first guy is not allowed to sell it, that's talking about lechatchila, he's not allowed to sell it, and it has nothing to do with whether he's really the owner or not. He's not allowed to sell it because he knows that the original Nosein did not want him to do so. Meaning the original Nosein very clearly, he made it extremely clear where he wants this property to be at all times. I want you to have it, then I want that guy to have it, then I want that guy to have it. So by you selling it before the second guy gets it, so that is not within the zone of the original Nosein, so that's not nice. It's just lechatchila, it's not the thing to do. But b'diavad, if you did it, if you did sell it, the mechira in fact will be chal, because you do have kinyan aguf, you do have the ability to sell it. So it turns out that Rebbe and Rishon Gamliel are talking about two different, totally different types of mechira. According to Rebbe, stam mechira of the first guy is only leperos, because he's not the bailim on the guf to sell it at all, and such a mechira we say that the first guy is allowed to sell it. But Rishon Gamliel holds that a stam mechira that you're doing is leguf, because the first guy is a bailim on the guf. And that's where he says, lechatchila, you're not supposed to do it, but b'diavad it would work. That is how the Rashbam explains in Dibra Maschil, halechatchila. However, the Tosos HaRash writes that this Rashbam is dachuk. He says, from Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Eilo L'Rishon, Ela Achilas Peros Bilvad, sounds like he's trying to limit the Rishon's rights more than Rebbe is. The way the Rashbam is understanding it, Rabbi Shimon Leal holds that the Rishon could really is really the full owner, and he's really capable of selling it entirely. But it doesn't sound that way from the Lashon. It sounds from the Lashon Rabbi Shimon Leal that he's being more limiting on the Rishon. Therefore, the Tosafot Rashi says that according to Rebbe, he's Tolish L'Chadchila, even the peros that are not yet ready to be Nitlash, the peros are not yet ready to be detached, and he's allowed to sell them. According to Rabbi Shimon Leal, he only gets the peros that are ready to be detached. But if he goes ahead and he sells it, the mechir will be chal even on the karka itself. So says Gemara Vayta. Now, Amar Abaye Ezehu Rasha Arum. Once we're talking about that, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's a violation of the Nosein's Ratzon to sell it because you know he wanted you to have it so long as you're alive. So Ezehu Rasha Arum. Abaye says, what would be an example of a Rasha Arum? Hamasi Eitzah Limkor Ben Chasim Ker Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If someone tries to give someone else an Eitzah to sell the nechassim, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's case, meaning he's called a Rasha Arum when it was given Laploni Vachrecha Laploni, and you give the advice to the Rishon that he should go sell it and he should enjoy the money, take advantage of the fact that he really is the owner, the Kinyan Aguf owner, and that he's able to sell it. That is not a nice thing to do at all. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that if the first guy sells it, the second guy loses out, will never be able to get those nechassim. Umodeh, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree, shem nesan man ashchiv meira lo asa klum, that if the first guy waited till he was dying and then he decided to give it as a mat nashchiv meira, well, that certainly is not going to work. Normally, a mat nashchiv meira, as we've pointed out, is divrei shchiv meira k'ksuv in the Dami. You don't need to make a Maisa Kinyan with words alone. You're able to be Makne it, which is a different than every other Kinyan in the world where you need a Maisa Kinyan. But if this guy decides to give it, so it's normally more effective, but if this guy who's the Rishon, where after he dies it's supposed to go L'Sheni, if he wanted to give it as a Matana while he was alive, good. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he's the owner. It's Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguf Dami. But as a Matna Shchivimra, he's more limited. He's not able to give it as a Matna Shchivimra. My time, why can't he give it as a Matna Shchivimra? What's holding him back? Am Rabbi, Matna Shchivimra lokana el la'achar misa. A Matna Shchivimra only is chal after the person dies, but after this person dies, the Sheni is already the owner. That was the deal. It goes to the Rishon, and then after the Rishon dies, it goes immediately to the Sheni. So the Sheni will preempt whoever you're trying to give the Matna Shchiv Mira to. So says the Gemara, is that really how Matna Shchiv Mira works? That the Kinyan is Chal after the person dies, that's a matna shchiv mira. Umiyam Rabbi Hachi, does Abai really hold that it's only la'achar misa that a matna shchiv mira is chal? V'yitmar matna shchiv mira me'em asai kana. Didn't we have a discussion when is a matna shchiv mira kana? Abai yamar im gemar misa, meaning it happens simultaneous to the Misa. Not after the Misa, during the Misa. Rava Amar Liachar Gemar Misa. Rava says that it only happens after the Misa. But don't you see that Abaye holds that it happens Mamish Bebas Achas, that the Misa and the Matna Shchiv Mira happens Mamish simultaneously. So then maybe the Halacha should be, I don't know what, meaning the Sheni does not preempt, the Sheni does not get in before the Mekabel of the Matna Shchiv Mira. It's simultaneous. Maybe they should split it or something. So how could Abaye say that the second guy gets in before the first guy? So we have to say Abaye must have changed his mind from that which he said, that the Matna Shchiv Mera is Chal with the Gemara Misa, and he's moded to Rava that the Matna Shchiv Mera is only Chal after the Misa, and that's why the Sheni gets in before the Mekabel of the Matna Shchiv Mera. So says Gemara, we have a stira in Abaye. So we said, okay, he must have changed his mind from the statement that a matna shchiv mera is kona at the Shas Misa. How do you know that's the one he changed his mind about? Granted, the fact that there's a stira, a blatant stira in Abaye, tells us he must have changed his mind at some point about one of these statements. How do you know which one? Dilma me ha haderbei. How do you know he changed his mind from the idea of matnas shchivmira being chal at the gemar misa? Maybe he changed his mind from the idea that matnas shchivmira is chal the achar misa, and the acharecha preempts the mekabel of the matnas shchivmira. Says Marlo Salkadaitach, it can't be that Abaye holds that a matnas shchivmira is chal at the gemar misa, and here's why. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah in Gittin that says like this: Zegiteich imati. This should be your get when I die. Zegiteich michalize. This should be your get when I die from this illness. Zegiteich la'achar misa. This should be your get after I die. Lo amar klum. That is not at all a get, because his intention is only to divorce after he dies, and the rule is ein get la'achar misa. So you see that when a person does something on account of his dying, when he's trying to make a transaction because he's dying, his intention is that that transaction should only be chal after he dies, not im gemar misa, but achar hamisa. Otherwise, why would the get not be chal? It must be that it's not chal because it's happening after the misa. So we're assuming that the same is going to be true about a matnas shchivmira, that the intention is that it's going to be la'achar hamisa, not im hamisa, not at the exact time of death, but that it's going to be after the gemar misa, after the person dies. This idea, zegiteich la'achar misa, lo amar klum, the Rashbam writes, because it's dafka because he says la achar amisa. If he says the get should be chal im amisa, let's say he's explicit about that he doesn't want it to be chal after he dies. He says, I want it to be chal as I am dying, at the same time that I'm dying, says Rashbam, then the get would in fact be chal. The get would work if he says, I want it to work while I'm dying, which causes Rav Yosef Engel to get all excited. What does that mean? The get is going to be chal at the same time that he dies. What is the status of that woman after he dies then? Is she a grusha or is she an almana? Or perhaps, says Rav Yosef Engel, is she that rare creature, a grusha almana? She is both a grusha and an almana simultaneously from the same person. Kohen Gadol marries her. How many averos is the Kohen Gadol doing? Is he violating the Yisra of an almana the Kohen Gadol? Is he violating the Yisra of a grusha the Kohen? Or is he in violation of both the Yisra of almana the Kohen Gadol and a grusha the Kohen? Maybe both shemos could be chal bebas achas. So he said, l'chora can't be that a woman could be a grusha and almana from the same husband. Because gerushin, he says, and this is a major discussion achrona whether it is true, but it says in Rav Yosef Engel, gerushin is a greater severance of the marriage than almanus is, meaning that when a woman becomes an almana, there's still a sheichus to the husband. He's no longer on this earth, but there's still a sheichus to the husband. When a woman becomes a grusha, it's krisus legamri. There is no connection whatsoever to the husband. So he says it's hard to imagine how does that happen at the same time. You would think that the grusha part of it overwhelms. It's a much stronger type of severance. That's a discussion in the Nodeb Yehuda. Discusses. I forgot the exact case. Was something where there was a father had made a request of who his daughter should marry after he dies, and then the father died, and the mother says otherwise. Now the mother wanted to go against the father. So who do you listen to? Do you listen to the mother or to the father? So the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about if your father asks you for one thing, your mother asks for something else. So if they're married, you listen to the father because the mother is chayiv in the covenant of the father. But if they're divorced, then it's a coin toss. You listen to whichever. It's unclear exactly how to deal with that situation. Gemara says you put down, they both ask for a cup of water, put the cup of water between them. It doesn't sound like a recipe for success to do that, but you have to sort of say they're even. What about if the father is dead? They didn't get divorced. The father is dead. So the Shoal, the Nadebuda, says, well, it's Yadua, that death is not the same way, it doesn't sever a marriage like Gerushin does. So the Chora, the father still has Kedima. Now the Buddha says it doesn't. The woman's allowed to get remarried. Is there a greater indication of a severance of a marriage than the fact that the woman can marry somebody else? Isn't that mehechi tesi? That almanus is not the same as gerushin, but emotionally, intuitively, we would probably sense that an almana is still connected to her husband, whereas a grusha has no connection to the husband either. So that's what Yosef Engel discusses, and then he connects this to the sugya maseches Tamu. Gemara and Daf Chaf Hey, where if a person says on a bechor that's omid li hivaled, an animal is about to be born, it's about to be a bechor that comes out of the mother, that you say im yitzias rubo ye ola, that when the majority of this animal emerges, I want it to be a carbon ola. So it has kedushas bechora and kedushas ola that are supposed that are slated to be chal bibasachas mamish simultaneously. Problem is, those two kedushos are sosar each other. If it's kedushas ola, it's not kedushas bechora. It can't be both. So in such a case, we say that the kedusha, the Gemara in Temura says that the kedusha that's babi de shemayim is going to overwhelm the kedusha that's babi de adam. Kedushas bechora is bide shemayim. That happens automatically whether you want it to be a bechora or not. Whereas kedushas ola is something that's man made. That's something that you determine. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, maybe you can say the same thing over here. There are two ways to sever marriage. There's almana and there's Mises Abal and there's Gerushin. Mises Abal happens typically bidei Shamayim. Gerushin happens bidei Adam. So maybe the Mises Abal should overwhelm the Gerushin. Maybe the woman should be considered an almana and should not be considered a Grusha. Or one might argue, Rav Yosef Engel doesn't bring this up, but one might argue that kol she'eno b'zera chazeh, afilu b'bas achas eno, that at any time you can't have two things that go one after the other, that are going to be chal one after the other, then afilu b'bas achas eno, then nothing happens. Maybe she's neither an almana nor a grusha. That's hard to imagine. How could you say she's not, the husband's not here, so what? She's going to be an aguna the rest of her life. She's neither an almana nor a grusha. Very hard to imagine such a possibility. But that's what gets Rav Yosef Engel all excited, that we have this this unique possibility that a woman could be. It's like a trivia question. How can a woman be a grusha and an almana from the same man? So based on that Rashbam, that's what he wanted to say. Says the Gemara further. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Afilu Hayi Ben Avadim Otzil Nechevus. Right, that's what we're up to. If the Rabbi Zera says in Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lach Afalz Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the second guy only gets what the first guy leaves over. Meaning, in the case of Acharecha Leploni, if the first guy sells it, whatever he sells is gone. The second guy only gets what's left. Even if there were avadim votziel lechevus, even if there were avadim and the first guy decided to free those avadim are free, the second guy does not receive those avadim. So pshita says, of course, that's exactly Rav Shimon Gamliel pshita. The first guy can do what he wants, and whatever he does is chal, and the second guy is stuck with whatever is left over. What's the chiddush of saying that he's able to be meshachrer avadim? No, because one might have said that the original nosing can say, I didn't give you these avadim to violate an avera with, and the halacha is that anyone who is meshachrer an eved is over ba'asei. You're in violation of the mitzvah saseh of li'olam bem tavodu. So you're not authorized to violate an iser. Kamash Milan, that's where Rabbi Yochanan tells us that, no, he is the monetary owner of these avadim, and therefore he can do as he pleases with these avadim. The l'chora, one could argue that the havamin is difficult to understand, that we might have thought that it doesn't work because it's a violation of an iser. But didn't we say already, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that any time you sell anything in an acharecha leploni situation, it's a violation, you're a rasha arum, it's a violation of an iser, l'chadchila, you only have the peros, and if the nechassim are not really, you're not really supposed to have those nechassim to sell them to someone else. So you have to say that there are different levels of iser, meaning that's a rasha arum. You're just really not being a nice guy by taking advantage of your situation, of the fact that the nosein didn't think of the possibility that you might give it all away. But over here, it's mamish nisr in the Torah. It's the olam hem tavodu. So maybe that is a greater havamina. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. We pass on the Rav Shimon Gamliel that the first guy is 100% the bailim, and he's allowed to do whatever he wants with those nechassim as long as he's alive. V'afilu asan tachrichim lemeis. Even if he decided to make them tachrichim lemeis, the din of tachrichim lemeis we learn from Sham. It says v'tamas Sham Miriam, and by avodah zara it says avet abdun es kol makamos asher avdu Sham. So the Gemara has a drasha that just like avodah zara is asur b'ana, so too a meis and called tzarche Ames are Asr Bahana'a. That's the drasha of Rava. Abaye has a different drasha, Varfu Shamas HaEgla Benachal, that we learn it from Egla Arufa. The Rimigash writes that if you throw Tachrichin on a mace and it touches the Mita and it gets buried with him, even if the mace is not yet buried, they're Asr Bahana'a, because just by touching the Mita Sameis, the mace is already Kona. According to Rav Shmuel Gamliel, the first guy is able to sell them. He's even able to be makan them to a mace by throwing them on a mace. That's what our Gemara is saying. That how much is the first guy the owner? He can even make them asr ba'anah by associating them with a mace. Says Rav Pshita, of course he can. He's the owner. I mean, that's the whole statement of Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Now, mal detema l'shavinu isure hana lo yavulach. I might have thought that the Nosin can say, I didn't give it to you to make Yisurei Hana out of it. So Kamash Mulan, that yes, he did. He is the owner. He can do whatever he wants with it. Darish of Nachman Rav Chista. Esrog Zed Nosin Lach Matana V'Acharecha L'Ploni. Let's say I give someone an Esrog as a Matana, and I decide V'Acharecha L'Ploni, and then it should go to so-and-so, and then to so-and-so. Nitala Rishon V'Yatza. But the first guy takes the Esrog and he's Yotzei the Mitzvah with it. Banal Machlokas Rabbi Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Is he in fact Yotzei the Mitzvah? Is Tali in the Machlokas Rabbi Rav Shmuel Gamliel? We know the Torah tells us V'Lakachtem Lachem B'Yom HaRishon, that the Esrog has to belong to you. So according to Rabbi, it's not yours, because you're not really the buyer on it. You're not able to sell this esrog, you're not able to give it away as a matana. The kinyan apero says, lav ki kinyan aguftami. According to Rav Shmuel Gamliel, it is yours. You are able to sell it. You're able to make a tachrich on the mace or whatever. You're able to do whatever you please with this esrog, and therefore it is yours. You are yotzei the mitzvah. Maskar of Nachum Yitzchak, ad kan lo pligi Rabbi Rav Shmuel Gamliel hasam, elo de marsav kinyan peres kinyan aguftami, marsav kinyan peres lav kinyan aguftami. No, maybe the machlokas is only in a case where I'm giving you something, and acharecha l'ploni, where you have this discussion of kina peres kina guftami or not. But over here by an esrog, where you're indicating that it should go to one guy, and then the esrog should go to another guy, so then imapik lo nafik be l'mayahavina alei. You have to ask the question, if the first guy is not going to be yotzei the mitzvah, what was the purpose of giving it to him in the first place? Meaning, clearly I wanted to give it in a way where the first guy would be yotzei the mitzvah. That's an umdana that we make. Magen Avraham writes this in the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person, he's off in his halachic understanding of exactly what kind of matana has to be given in order to allow the person to be yotzei the mitzvah, there's an umdana that he meant whatever halachically works, that that's what he really wanted to do. That came up when I was discussing the Shaila. We didn't get to it this past Shalosh Shudas, but the Shaila that came up of the Pidyon HaBen, where the guy thought he bought the five silver dollars for Pidyon HaBen, and then the guy that sold it to him 2 weeks later said, no, my das was only to rent it to you. My das was not to sell it to you. So if it were a rental, then the guy's not yotzei the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. What were you giving it to him for? So maybe you could argue, when he says rent, he meant, I wanted it back. I wanted it as a matana al manas lahachzir. Matana al manas lahachzir, we're about to see, might be a matana, it might be that it does count. He used the word rent, but because he's not halachically sophisticated enough to know exactly what works. But the umdana is that if you're selling five silver dollars for Pidyon HaBen, that you want it to be able to work for the Pidyon HaBen. It's a similar type of idea. So it says Gemara, Ela meipak tukuli alma lo pligi dinafik bay. Now, can the first guy be yotze? Absolutely. Everyone holds he could be yotze with it. Machra o achla banal machlokas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The question is, what if he then doesn't pass it on? He sells it, or he eats it. So that's machlokas Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel. According to Rabbi, if he eats it, he pays the value to the second guy. According to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, the second guy only gets what the first guy has left over. So if he sold it, it's gone, and the second guy gets nothing. So the Gemara is going to bring other halachos relating to lachem and an esrog. Amar Rab Baruch Huna, ha'achin shekanu esrog b'tfusas habayis. Let's say there's an estate that's owned by all the brothers. They have not yet divided it, and they use the money from the estate to buy an esrog. Netalo echad mehem, one of the brothers uses that esrog on the first day of Yantiv, v'yatzabo, and he's yotzei in order to be yotzei the mitzvah with it. Im yachalo achlo yatza. How do we know if he's yotzei the mitzvah, if it's really called lachem? Well, if he were allowed to eat it, you know, if when they buy fruits, one of them is allowed to eat it, and the other brothers will not have a taina on him, so then he's yotzei, that esrog is in fact his. Vim lav, but if the other brothers would be makbid, that he not eat that esrog, then lo yatza, then he's not yotzei, because that's an indication that it must not really be his. If it were his, he'd be allowed to eat it. And this only works if if they use the estate to buy esrogim for everybody. So then they don't mind being makna that one esrog to that one brother completely because they have their own esrogim. Aval parish arimon lo. But if they only have that one esrog and all the other peros that they buy with tvusas habayis are peros with which you cannot do a mitzvah. It's a parish, it's a rimon, wonderful peros, but you cannot do a mitzvah with them, then there's no way that the other brothers want this brother to be the sole owner of the esrog. If you give an esrog as a matana amanas lahachzir, netalo v'yatzabo hechziro yatza lo hechziro lo yatza. And the guy takes it and he's yotze the mitzvah. So if he gives it back, he's yotze the mitzvah because then he fulfilled the condition. As long as you fulfill the condition, then the matana was a real matana. But if he doesn't give it back, then he's not yotze the mitzvah because he never fulfilled the condition of the matana. So the Gemara explains, kamash. So you see that a matana amanas la'achzir is in fact considered a real matana. You just have to fulfill the condition of actually being machzir. Now, what used to be in Europe in many cities was they didn't have everyone; they weren't able to have everyone buy their own esrog. They would buy one esrog for the shul. So one guy would buy it. Let's say the gvir would buy it. So the rich guy in the shul would buy the esrog, and then he would give it as a matana amanas la'achzir to each person, and they'd pass it around the shul. As a matana amanas la'achzir. What was not an uncommon occurrence was that by the time it got back to the first guy, it was already pasul. That someone dropped it, it had become pasul along the way. Do we then say nobody was yotzei the mitzvah? Because it was all almanas la'achzir, it was all almanas that it be given back to you? L'chora, that's what we should say, right? We should say that nobody was yotzei the mitzvah. But when such a thing happened by the Chazon Ish, where a lot of people already said a bracha on the yasrog, and the Chazon Nish paskin that we should be that it's right to be machmir to take another esrog, but Meikar Adin, he thought that everyone was yotze. What's the svara? Where was the fulfillment of the tanai of almanas la'achzir? So svara was that since he himself wanted them to make the bracha and then give it to the next guy, that ha'avara from Rishon to Sheni, from Sheni to Shlishi, Shlishi to Revi, v'chulei, was the ratzon of the Nosein. That's exactly what the Nosein had intended. So it's ki'ilu, says Chazon Ish, that it was not almanas that you give it back to me, l'hachzer li, it was almanas that you give it to the next guy. So as long as you gave it to the next guy, you yotze. The only one that wouldn't be yotze is the guy that pasled it, because he never really gave it to the next guy. So each one gets it as a matana, almanas to pass it on to the next guy. So that's a fulfillment of the ratzon of the original person with the esrog. So that is the shita of the Chazon Ish in that case. Says the Gemara, there was a woman, the Havaleh Dikla ba'arad Rabbi Barabaye, who had a dekel tree in the field of Rabbi Barabaye. Kalemis avazazel migzre, have a copy to levei. Whenever she wanted to go take some fruits from it, Rabbi Barabaye got all upset. She's trampling all over his other produce. Saknisinele kol shnei chayev. So she was makna the dekel tree to Rav Bibi Barabai for as long as he lives, and then after he dies, the dekel should go back to her or to her yorshim if she's already dead. Ozel ihu aknele lebno katan. Rav Bibi decided he's going to take advantage over here. That what's Rav Shum Gamliel hold? That if you get something in a charecha leploni, but you sell it, you can then get the money, and the ploni is not going to. Isn't this exactly a case of acharecha leploni? The woman's giving it to him, the acharecha back to me. So what's the difference? Acharecha back to me is acharecha is the same as saying acharecha leploni. So Rabbi Barabai says, okay, I can take advantage of Rishon Gamliel's opinion. I can go and I can sell it, and then the woman will never get it back. My children will have it; it will stay Yerusha in my family forever. So Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Mishum Da'asu Mimulai Amrisu Mili Mulyasa. Because you come from the Bnei Eli who are called Mimulai, the Gemara discusses Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches that Bnei Eli are called Mimulai because they lived in a city called Mimale or Mimula, and the Medrash says that a mayor went to Mimula and he saw that they all had black hair. There were no Zikanim. There was no one with white hair in the whole city, and the reason for that is because of the curse that we find in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, the Kol Marbus Pesecha Yamusu Anashim, that all of the people, all of the descendants of the Bnei Eli are going to die young. So that's the town of Memula, right? That was what the Gemara discusses. So we darshan bezevach u'mincha, they can't have a kapara, but they could have a kapara with Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. They're able to have a kapara, and that's Baye. What was it, Rav and Shmuel that are both Mibes Eli, I think it was. So the point is, he says, since you come from the Beis Eli, which gets cut off early, you are saying things that should be cut off. You're saying something that's totally wrong. Because Afirum Shum Lia lo kamra ella le acher, aval atzma lo. Rav Shmuel Liel says that you can take advantage if it's acharecha la acher, to plony, to someone else, not back to yourself. What if you have the following situation? I'm giving you this shor al menas that you give it back to me. Hikdisho. The makabel decides he's going to be makdashit vechzero, and then he gives it back after he's makdashit. Hareza muktosh muksar. Good. He gave it back. He fulfilled his tonight. So it is hekdish, and it's been given back. So it's fine. The hekdish is chal. Amale Rav Rav Nachman Maya Hadre. What do you mean he gave it back? If it's hekdish, he gave back nothing. He gave back something the guy can't use. Amale my chasre. Physically, it's there. He gave it back. If you say Almanasa, you give it back, so he gave it back, it's fine. But if he says Almanasa, you give it back to me, which means that I have to be able to benefit from it, then he meant something that I can actually use, and he cannot use a shor that is hegdish. So it all depends on the wording of the Matana Almanas Lahafsir. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Vidamar Shema.